This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that exists to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
So today we're going to continue in our series, Take Hold, Life That Is Truly Life. And this series is rooted in this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. It's printed in your bulletin. And the goal of this passage, Paul writes to those who are rich, he's explaining how we can take hold of the life that is truly life. And today, the phrase we're going to focus on is be generous and willing to share. And before I get into that, I just want to ask you a quick question based upon this gospel reading. Why did Jesus say, hey, don't worry about what you eat or drink or what you're going to wear? Why would he say that to people? Ideas? So they would trust him to provide. Yeah. Would I ever say to any of you, hey, don't worry about what you're going to drink or what you're going to eat? Would I ever say that? Why not, Diane? Right, because you're not worried about it. You're not worried about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. They were. So most of the recipients of Jesus' message in these New Testament letters, these people lived the kind of lives where they actually were worried about where their next meal was coming from. Just to give you some context for who these people were, and yet Jesus and Paul, and they all talked to them about giving and generosity and all these things, even though they were worried about where their next meal was coming from. That's an important point. Anyway, you know, it's interesting to me the kinds of reactions that this subject stirs up, because almost without exception, whenever I've preached messages about giving and money, someone will say to me, we're always talking about money. And the reality is, I could show you the sermons, we record them all, I can show you what they all are, going back for years, that actually, from the pulpit, we rarely talk about money. But when we do, it strikes a nerve, and so we think, oh, we're always talking about this. Now, to be fair, though, we do talk about money in other venues, letters and emails and that kind of stuff. So you put it all together, and we do talk about money a decent amount. But think about it. How often do you think about money in your daily life? Every day, right? It's just a reality. It's a part of our lives. And the same is true in our church family. It's just a part of our reality. It's something that we deal with every day. And so that's why we talk about it a fair amount. And that's why Jesus talks about it more than anything else, just about, because it was such an important reality in people's lives. Now, if you're feeling like we talk a lot about money lately, well, you'd be right, because we are. This series, our midweek study, The Generous Life, are both oriented around money and giving and all of that. So the question is, why are we doing this with some intensity at the moment? Well, we've been working with a group called Generous Church since January. And Generous Church is an organization that helps churches wrestle with this subject. And the president of Generous Church is a guy named Patrick Johnson. And he has been working with us. And Patrick has been in this ministry arena for many years. He's worked with churches all over the country. He's worked with Saddleback Church and Rick Warren in California. He's worked with North Point Church in Atlanta, Andy Stanley. These are like some of the biggest churches in America. And so he's worked with lots of churches, all different kinds of churches, and he's been working with us. And he said back in January, the starting place for all this is we need to get people to take what he calls the Generous Life Survey. And some of you took this. Over 400 of us filled out this survey. And the results were very surprising to me. They were very surprising. And to summarize, here's what we learned. And remember, these results are based upon our answers. Like, we didn't just make these results up. This is what we said. What we said is that 73% of us either don't practice giving or generosity with any kind of intentionality, or we don't know the biblical teaching about generosity, or both. 73% of us. That shocked me. That shocked me because I know so many of you, and I know you're very generous, but yet 73% of us said, this is something we struggle with in practice, or we struggle with just from a knowledge standpoint, or both. In addition, again, based upon what we said, we earn more than the average suburban church. And so that means that our income level, coupled with our lack of knowledge and practice, according to Patrick Johnson, puts us below average in this arena when compared to other suburban churches that have been measured by Generous Church. So by our own admission, this is something that we struggle with. Now, the intent here is not to judge or to place blame. If there is blame to be assigned, it goes to me. Patrick was very clear. I mean, he said it right to my face. This is a church that has not been taught very well. Because he said, if what you're telling me is true about these people, and it is, what wonderful people, he said, I know that they would respond if they were taught. And you have not taught them very well. So, that's why we're doing this. The purpose of this series is for me to get Patrick off my back. No, that's not really. It is to teach us, what does the Bible have to say about this? So that we can grow in our knowledge, so that we can grow in our practice, be more like Jesus, and ultimately, as Paul says, we can take hold of this life that is truly life. I know that's what you want, and that's what I want. And so today, I just kind of want to walk us through, what are the basics? What does the New Testament teach us about giving? What are the New Testament guidelines for giving? You know, in the Old Testament, it was all mandated by law. You gave a tithe, 10%. You didn't have to think about it. You didn't have to wrestle with it. It's just what you were expected to do by law. And so you obeyed. But in the New Testament, it's clear that we no longer live under the law. And the expectation of Jesus and the other New Testament writers is that as people of grace who are no longer under the law, we are set free. We're set free to enjoy giving and to be generous. So giving in the New Testament is a matter of grace. It is not obedience to the law as if we're somehow earning something. So I just want to go through, what are the basic New Testament principles of giving? And then we're going to close by talking about motivation. What motivations have to be in us to make all this happen? So what does the New Testament teach about generosity? Five basic principles. First, the New Testament teaches us that we should be willing and cheerful givers, right? We know that verse, even if we don't know the reference. 2 Corinthians 9:7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, like it was some kind of law, but for God loves a cheerful giver. So our giving should be a want to and not a have to. In fact, it's not a have to. We are not under the law. So giving is something we want to do, something we do joyfully. The second thing is that giving should be a regular pattern of life. A regular pattern of life. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, on the first day of every week, Each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. So giving is not haphazard, but it's intentionally consistent. Paul's instructions place it clearly within the realm of our worship, as part of our worship, on the first day of every week. So he's talking about when we come together for worship. You know, everyone brings their offering. Third, giving should be in proportion to our ability. In proportion to our ability, in keeping with your income, as Paul says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul also talks about each person giving according to his or her ability. We all have different capacity, and something that is true, though, for all of us, none of us can give from what we don't have. You can't give from what you don't have. You can only give from what you have. Number four, our giving should be generous. Generous. From our reading today, 2 Corinthians 9:11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. There are so many New Testament passages that talk about generosity. Use that specific word. What does it mean? What does it mean to be generous? What does generosity mean? Just curious. What do you think? How do you define generosity? Selfless acts? Yeah. Over and above. Over and above what? Okay, over and above expectations. Yeah. Yeah, just that's the technical definition of generosity. It's giving more than what is expected or necessary. Were you reading the dictionary before you came, Diane? So far, the New Testament teaches us that giving should be willing and cheerful, a regular pattern of life in proportion to our ability, and generous. And generous. And there's one more. Any guesses? One more thing that the New Testament teaches about giving. Sacrificial. Yeah. Yeah. Good answer. Think about Jesus. How much did Jesus give? He gave everything, right? He gave everything. He gave to the point of sacrifice. And so, as his followers, it's really no surprise that the New Testament would call us to give sacrificially. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability." Mark chapter 12, Jesus commends the poor widow. It says, calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Now, I have to tell you, when I read this passage this week, thinking about this sermon, I actually was like questioning. I was like, Jesus, really? Seriously? Like, is this really a good idea? Well, apparently, he thought it was. But I still wrestle with it. Like, are you sure? Like, should she really have done that? Is that wise? Well, Jesus thought so. She gave everything. Jesus gave everything. And he calls us to the same kind of life by picking up our crosses and following him. So when we hear, hey, we don't We don't give out of obligation. We don't just automatically give 10% because it's required by law. There's that part of us that's like, oh, that's good, right? Until we get here. Until we get to words like generosity, giving more than expected. Until we get to words like sacrifice. Those are the five principles. Willing and cheerful, a regular pattern of life, in proportion to our ability, generous and sacrificial. And so now we need to think about motivation. Motivation is a motor. And so what motivation, what needs to be in us to kind of to propel us forward in being generous and willing to share? Well, we need two things, and they're both from our text. And the first motivation we need is the conviction that God is the creator. That God is the creator. This doctrine of creation is so important. It is so important that we believe in our heart of hearts that God is the creator. We are not here by accident. God has created us. Paul says in verse 10, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." Now, Paul's point is you can be generous because everything you have is from God, and as creator, he is able to supply you with everything that you need. I mean, we're told by the advertisers, it's our money, we earned it, and so therefore we deserve to spend it on ourselves. And, I mean, there's an aspect of that's true, right? We did earn it. We work hard. So it is, in that sense, our money. But God reminds us, yes, you earned it. You earned it with the air that I gave you for free. You earned it with the mind and the body that I gave you for free. You earned it with all the blessings and advantages that you have by living in this culture that I gave you for free. All these things are from God. The fact that you were born when you were and where you were, and you weren't born 1,200 years ago in a mountain village in Tibet, the Bible says that's all part of God's providential choice. And that means everything we have is a result of his blessing, his goodness. And now he asks us to be generous and willing to share. And so we are motivated to generosity because God is the creator. Now, as parents, we know you have to teach children. Like, you don't have to teach children to want, do you? You have to teach them to give. Right? The wanting mine is natural. It's the giving that's not. You know, you're at Target and, you know, you break down, you're in the line, your kid wants a candy bar. You're like, okay, you buy him the candy bar. You get to the car, hey, can I have a piece? Can I have a piece? No, it's mine. You gave it to me. And you look at him and say, well, you're kidding, right? I mean, I know I gave it to you. I'm not taking it back. I just want a bite. Come on. If we believe in God like we say we do, then we know that everything that we have is from him. And he says, hey, give me a piece. How about you share with me, oh, let's say 10% of it for the work of my church in the world. And we're like that kid. We say, what? It's mine. And he says, you're kidding, right? This is a joke, right? 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that God hasn't given you? And obviously the answer is nothing. Nothing. So Christians understand that God is the creator. Everything that we have is from him. Not only that, but we understand that God is the redeemer. The redeemer. It says in the text that generosity is a response to the gospel of Christ. Paul says in chapter 8, I am not commanding you. I am not commanding you to give, because I know that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, look, I don't have to command you, because I know you understand grace. Chapter 9, 13 says, you have proved yourselves through your generosity. You've proved yourselves. Paul is saying that one way to know that you have experienced the grace of God is through your generosity. If, on the other hand, you have to be commanded and cajoled and manipulated and whatever else, that is an indication that you have not experienced the grace of God in maybe a significant way. I mean, we know, right? Giving is the language of love. And here's how you know if your relationship with God is one of love because of the grace that you have received, or it's one of legalism because of the fact that you in your mind have, I've done my best and God owes me. The person who has a relationship with love based on grace says to God, I owe you everything, and therefore I am yours, and everything I have is yours. But a person who has a relationship based upon legalism, that person says to God, look, I've worked hard, I've been a good person, you owe me. The difference is huge. And that's why Paul can say, look, you have proved yourselves through your generosity. And does that make sense? I ask that question because I assume that for some of us it doesn't. It doesn't make sense. Because some of us probably don't actually know where we stand with Jesus. And I want to say, if that's you, I am really glad that you're here. Jesus wants you here. Jesus said he came to help those. He came as a physician to help not people who think they've got it all figured out, but he came to help those who are confused and who don't know what they believe. He's a physician, and he's given us a way to diagnose ourselves. Do we find a message like this about generosity making sense? Because if Jesus is the God that he claimed to be, if he has given himself for you, if he has bore your sins in his body on the tree to pay your debt, and now he lives in you, if he's not just your helper, but he's your savior, if those things are true, then it changes everything. I mean, it changes everything about you, including your money. So is that you? And if not, what I want to say to you is to keep seeking after Jesus. Move toward him. Keep pressing into your relationship with him. Discover what the grace of God is all about. Learn what he did for you because of his great love. Because when you realize his grace and love, then the generosity part, and in fact every other part of the Christian life, it starts to get sorted out. But if you don't start from that place of grace and love, then you're not working from a good foundation. That's where it starts. The very first sermon in this series, remember Jesus and his encounter with the rich young ruler. I was reminded in reading this passage, just this phrase, it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. He loved him, and he loves you. And he's looking at you and saying, hey, come with me. Come on, come with me. You can trust me. And so what I want to say is, don't be that guy. Don't turn away. Don't turn away. Go with him. And I am certain that you will not regret it.